So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Un domingo más levantamos el cierre del Underground Garage de Little Steven y nos disponemos a despedir el fin de semana a golpe de rock and roll. Yo soy Carlos Medina y juntos disfrutaremos de las aventuras que nos tiene preparadas el guitarrista de Springsteen. Aprovecho para adelantarte que esta noche nuestro protagonista bien puede considerarse como un ave fénix que renace de sus cenizas cuando parecía haber quedado relegado como una mera anécdota o un dulce recuerdo para nostálgicos coleccionistas. ¿Sabes a qué me refiero? Al disco de vinilo. Concretamente, nos centraremos en el disco sencillo de 7 pulgadas. No me enrollo más. Arrancamos el show de esta noche con música de 45s. Dan el pistoletazo de salida. Daddy Rolling Stones. Buenas noches, Little. Comienza el Underground Garage de Rock FM.
Sound is so good. That 6 3/4 inch two-sided vinylite disc with a slightly more than 1.5 inch hole in the middle was an awe-inspiring circle of black magic, better known as the 7-inch vinyl single. It was very simply the ultimate form of transportable communication of music, best described by Emil Berliner, who had taken Thomas Edison's wax cylinder and turned it into the flat disc record player we all know and love. Emil called listening to a recording, communing with immortality. Why am I so confident that the 7-inch single's effectiveness will never be surpassed? At least 3 reasons come immediately to mind. First, sound is relative. These days, everything sounds good. Putting aside the obvious superiority of the analog format that most people will never hear, and therefore never miss, our ears have adjusted to all things remastered digital. iPods sound great, TV sounds great, radio sounds great, movies sound great, bands now play through big PA systems, that sounds great. Basically, everything sounds great because the baby boomer generation grew up with rock and roll, and sounding great became a cultural priority. In the 50s and early 60s, nothing really sounded that good as far as teenagers were concerned, until a 7-inch vinyl single came along. That's what fit in the jukeboxes, and jukeboxes were everything, along with the car radio, of course. And as we've spoken of many times before, the kids were ripping out the seats in the movie theaters showing Blackboard Jungle, not because they were hearing rock and roll for the first time. They were ripping the seats out because they were hearing rock and roll loud for the first time, as God intended. Which brings us to the second reason 7-inch singles were so amazing. A technological reason. They were louder than both the 10-inch 78s and the 12-inch 33s. The 2-3 minutes at the most 45s had the widest grooves with the maximum level of tolerable distortion. They were internally more intense. And the third reason was where art meets science. The producers of the 45s focused on one song and one song only. The songwriters, the singers, the musicians, the engineer, the arranger, and the producer were totally focused on making one song, one recording, as great as it could be. The B-side was also good. That was a bonus, but nobody really cared. It wasn't really until the Beatles that the two-sided hit was institutionalized, but even that was temporary. It was one song. If it was a hit, radio would play it every hour. Then you'd go to the juke joint after school and play it constantly on the jukebox. Then you'd go home and you'd wear it out on your record player. After that, for your favorite groups, you had to wait an eternity for their next single. 6 whole weeks.
Love me, love me, I ain't got nothing but love, babe. A large center hole and a hair crack.
But the crack is so tight it's completely inaudible.
But a tight hair crack is just that, a crack. I don't collect cracked records. I only pay premium on mint records. Seymour, you know that. Please.
So what was all that about enlarged holes and tight cracks?
I didn't think you would have any interest in this get-together. If you would have told me you were coming, I would have warned you. It's not like a real party or anything.
Yeah, you're right about that. So is this your record collection?
Oh, God, no. This is just junk I have for sale. The record room is off-limits.
Where both had no place to go. I remember how my heart beat when Hey, everybody, this is Tommy James, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, playing the coolest rock songs ever made.
Things like that, do you? No, you never ask me what's on the flip side.
No. Shrevey, who cares about what's on the flip side of a record?
I do! Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made. Who was copying whose styles, who was expanding on that, don't you understand? When I listen to my records, they take me back to certain points in my life, okay? Just don't touch my records. Ever.
The boy is gonna hold me tight. Now,
wonder, wonder.
Yeah, baby. Welcome to the Underground Garage, where we are celebrating the 7-inch single, the once and future of the record business, if there is to be one. Mostly everything I say this week will have come from a very cool book, which we are recommending, called 45 RPM, The History, Heroes, and Villains of a Pop Music Revolution, written by Jim Dawson and Steve Propes, which you can get from BackbeatBooks.com. And as you'll see, it's fascinating stuff, really. And we will be referring to it the whole show. We started the celebration with guess who? The 45s, baby, from Atlanta, Georgia, doing Otis Blackwell's Daddy Rolling Stone from High Life, High Volume, produced by the very groovy Jim Diamond. And you can get it from YepRock.com. 8 Days a Week was from the Beatles' fourth album, Beatles for Sale. The reason why it was on the album was because it wasn't a single in England. They mostly kept the singles off the albums because they didn't feel it was ethical to charge the public twice for the same song. Yes, people actually thought that way once upon a time. Can you imagine living in such a civilized world as that? And by the way, that was their fourth album in about a year. I mean, literally, I'm trying to figure out the time here. But their second album came out on my birthday, November 22nd, 1963. So literally it was three albums that year. Amazing. Just like me, Paul Revere and the Raiders from Portland, Oregon, 1965, Columbia Records, produced by the great Terry Melcher.
Little White Lies from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. The Ties That Bind, The River Collection is the album. And it includes a whole new album of very cool outtakes. If you're new to Bruce Springsteen's music, this is an excellent place to start.
The very underrated Tommy James with Dragging the Line. Tommy out of Ohio. He made a bunch of very cool records, and that was one of them. And so did the Ronettes. I Wonder, written by Phil Spector, Jeff Barry, and Ellie Greenwich. Produced by Phil, arranged by Jack Nitzsche. Probably engineered by Larry Levine, November of 1963. And we'll be back with our Freak of the Week, the man responsible for the ultimate success of the vinyl single.
And now, here's a message from one of our loyal sponsors. And I'll be back in a minute to play that certain record again, the one you kids want to hear over and over and over.
En Rock FM, escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche nuestro protagonista es el sencillo o single, como prefieras llamarlo. La llegada de los discos sencillos supuso una nueva oportunidad para difundir la música, puesto que implicaba la publicación de canciones sueltas previas a lo que sería un disco entero. El formato más común era el disco de 7 pulgadas que se reproduce a 45 revoluciones por minuto. Este formato fue introducido por la RCA y venía a suplir al antiguo disco de 78 revoluciones. En un principio, estos nuevos singles eran monoaurales y podían ser grabados por ambos lados. Más adelante, allá por los 60, empezó a grabarse en estéreo, hasta que fue en la década de los 70 cuando se hizo esto ampliamente popular. Es curioso porque, a pesar de que el single de 7 pulgadas permaneció como un estándar, hubo otros en la década de los 70 con amplia aceptación popular. Fueron los singles de 12 pulgadas, que permitían pistas con mezclas de mayor duración, haciéndose muy populares en la música dance. También es cierto que en la década de los 60 los singles de 7 pulgadas mantuvieron una duración estipulada de 3 minutos, a pesar de que se contaban con los medios técnicos suficientes como para ampliar esta duración. Esta situación se mantuvo fundamentalmente debido a que las estaciones de radio preferían emitir canciones con esa duración aproximada de 3 minutos, pero en esas llegó el señor Bob Dylan con su clásico Like a Rolling Stone. A pesar de que las grandes compañías pretendieron que se ajustara la duración de una forma más amigable, finalmente se impuso el criterio de Dylan, propiciando una mayor duración de los singles. Todo tuyo, Little.
Our Freak of the Week, David Sarnoff, was born in a remote Russian village in 1891, emigrated to the Lower East Side at the age of 9, speaking only Yiddish. He taught himself telegraphy, studied electrical engineering at night, and worked at the American Marconi Company and saw his future in the wireless telegraph, something they were calling radio. He would get famous by the circumstance of his having night duty manning his telegraph key at the Marconi station atop the Wanamaker department store in Manhattan when he received the distress call from the Titanic, ran into iceberg, sinking fast. He alerted somebody important because within the hour, President Taft would get involved, clear the airwaves, and Sarnoff would relay every transmission of the rescue ships over the next 70 hours. In 1915, he predicted the radio music box could become a household utility, and when the American Marconi Company became the Radio Corporation of America, RCA, they hired him to run it. The first thing he did was start a company to create programming for the new medium. In modern terms, created the software to go with the hardware. He called it the National Broadcasting Company, NBC. His vision continued as he proposed combining radios and phonographs in the same cabinets, using the same speakers, and bought the Victor Talking Machine Company so he'd have the media outlet with RCA, the content company with NBC, the record player through Victor, and records through Victor's record division. The Victor Talking Machine Company, by the way, being the company started by Emil Berliner, bequeathed to Eldridge Johnson, who had replaced Berliner's very delicate acid-etched 7-inch zinc masters with 10-inch shellac, which could be mass-produced and would rule at 78 RPM from 1907 to 1949. Because of contributions David Sarnoff had made in World War II, President Eisenhower made him a brigadier general, and he became known as General David Sarnoff, and it wasn't a good idea to mess with him. But in 1949... somebody did.
Hey, pretty baby.
You can't sit up.
Don't you hear the drummer thumping?
You can't sit up.
You gotta shake it like a crazy.
You can't sit up.
Cause the band is saying something.
You can't sit up.
Everybody is a jumping.
You can't sit up.
You gotta slap bop, flip flop, hip hop all around.
You can't sit up. You can't sit up.
You gotta move.
A very distinctive style.
Everybody's got a distinctive style these days. I'd like to hear someone sing a song straight for a change.
But you know they're going for the new sounds, Jack.
Oh, I wish I could help you with it, Peg. Do you know our program this year? No experiments. We're sticking with the established record sellers.
Hi, this is Tommy Ramone of the Ramones, and you're listening to Lil Steven in the Underground Garage.
All dressed up when the sun sets low, when the big bright moon turns a pretty hood up, when my heart pits a load, it's like a Romeo, and I'm all messed up, and the fireflies glow, oh, 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 oh. Wanna curse it back. Well, I'm going after that. Everything is out of sight, but it's gonna be alright. Oh, oh, oh. I'm gonna hang out in the park, hang out after dark. I'm gonna be with the gang tonight. On the streetless, I will play after the school day. When troubles disappear, and I feel excitement here. Oh, 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 oh. Kids in cars go cruising by, the big black moon shining in the sky. Music playing at bottom of the stairs, but everybody's singing all around. Oh, 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 oh. I'm gonna hang out in the park, hang out at the dark. I'm gonna be with the gang tonight. I'm gonna be with the gang tonight. I'm gonna be with the gang tonight. I'll dress up when the sun sets low, when the big bright moon turns a bloody hood up, when my heart turns to love like a Romeo. When the fireflies glow, oh, 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 oh.
No, Yvonne, she's right to ask. I mean, anybody who doesn't know this rat race would ask. So I'll tell you. First of all, we've got to buy her into the charts, right? Then we've got to sweeten the disc jocks and manufacture the image, right? Then we've got to sell that image, right? Now, for all that, 10 grand's not really enough bread, but, like, given a bit of luck and know-how, could happen. Can you see?
She's turned deaf, actually.
Great. So we make a record. Psychedelic, but not turned on. Cellos, definitely.
Where are you? in a shabby raincoat. Where are you tonight? Cheap purple baby doll dress, a gardenia in your hair. Much taller and stronger than me, a forbidden dream, a dream, a dream. All I wanna do is tell Gardenia what to do tonight. All I wanna do is tell Gardenia what to do tonight. Gardenia, where are you tonight? The streets were
make your fortune, bye bye. But if you lose, don't ask no
Started with the Dovells cover of You Can't Sit Down, originally done by the Phil Upchurch Combo, but it became more than a cover when Cal Mann added some lyrics. Some confusion on the writer's credits. We're going to try and figure it out. Some places it's D. Clark and Cornell Muldrow, who was the organ player, and some places Phil Upchurch himself, who was the guitar player, gets credit. So we're going to check into that. Produced by co-owner of Cameo Parkway, Cal Mann, and his head of A&R, Dave Appel. Cameo Parkway with a number of very cool records, all of which we would recommend. Fortune Teller was The Shelters, brand new band out of L.A. That from their debut EP, co-produced by Tom Petty. And it's a very cool record. From the Subterranean Jungle came the Ramones and In the Park, written by Dee Dee, 1983, produced by Richie Cordell and Glenn Kolakin. Gardenia, Iggy Pop, yeah baby, the album is coming, post-pop depression, Josh Homme producing and co-wrote it with Iggy and the gang, cool stuff. And from Chicago, where the political surprises never end. You know, Al Capone set that bar pretty high, man. As did Superfly. Curtis Mayfield in his post-impressionist period. The kid's clever, isn't he? Written and produced by Curtis, one of the greatest artists of all time. We lost him tragically. An accident on stage, of all things. Ridiculous.
Estás en Rock FM en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Hay un personaje que el guitarrista de Springsteen quería recordar esta noche al hilo de los singles de 7 pulgadas. Ese hombre es el señor David Sarnoff. Fue en la compañía de telecomunicaciones Marconi donde comenzó su carrera profesional. En un lapso de tiempo de 13 años, Sarnoff comenzó a especializarse en el negocio de la electrónica de las comunicaciones con un gran énfasis en las posibilidades comerciales que comenzaba a brindar la radio. su visión implicaba una persona dirigiéndose a muchas. No le fue fácil convencer a sus superiores de ello, pero cuando la compañía Marconi pasó a ser la RCA, consiguieron una patente de difusión radiofónica que les situó en una posición prácticamente de monopolio. Más o menos en este punto de la historia, retomamos la importancia del sencillo de 7 pulgadas, puesto que permitía ofrecer un consumo de música a un público más joven y de menores recursos económicos a la vez que potencialmente amplio. Fueron los años 50 y 60 cuando los singles vivieron su mayor esplendor en la música rock. En la década siguiente, los 70, cambiaron las tornas, imponiéndose progresivamente el disco completo. Esto se debió a la tendencia de que cada vez más grupos se animaban a componer y publicar material con una coherencia interna, más allá de canciones sueltas. Nació el disco conceptual. Bien es cierto que en el caso de la música dance se mantuvo el single de 12 pulgadas como un método de distribución. Aún así, también cabe recordar que gran parte del éxito de aquellos sencillos de 7 pulgadas vino de la mano de aquellas máquinas tocadiscos que se encontraban en restaurantes y espacios de ocio. En Estados Unidos se conocen como jukebox y por aquí como rocolas. ¿Qué canciones pediría Little Steven en aquellas jukebox? A ver qué nos cuenta. Dale, maestro.
Welcome back to the Vinyl Jungle, we like to call the Underground Garage, where we are telling the story of the 7-inch single, the once and future coolest way to communicate rock and roll, and if not for a quirk of fate, or a quirk of ego in this case, the 45 would never have happened. So if you're just tuning in, we're in the middle of the story, you can go to the archives later and it'll all make sense. Anyway, when we last left the General... General David Sarnoff, that is, he was in complete control of the universe, as he knew it. His company RCA Victor had the radios, the content production with NBC, and he now owned the company that invented the record player, and the records to go along with it. The shellac 10-inch 78 revolutions per minute disc, simply called the 78. Onto the scene comes this rich kid, a media dilettante named William Paley, who takes his father's cigar manufacturing money and buys the Columbia Broadcasting System, CBS, and even though he's 10 years younger, becomes Sarnoff's rival. One day, April 1948, Paley invites Sarnoff and his boys to come over. There's something he wants to show them. He reveals a new record format, a 12-inch vinyl-like disc that sounds better, is a lot lighter, and is a lot more durable. 78s would break quite easily. And it played at 33 and a third revolutions per minute, which allowed 22 minutes per side, four times what the 78 could hold. Paley had accomplished this extraordinary innovation secretly, so he revealed it to RCA, knowing that they could never catch up with their research and development, so hopefully they would license his format. You get it? Well, Sarnoff is sitting there seething. His brain is frying. How could this spoiled brat upstart punk get ahead of the guys who invented it all and owned every innovation of the last 50 years? He goes back to his office, gathers everybody, every engineer. You got 15 minutes to explain what you're going to do to save my dignity and your jobs. They start going through the whole history of the company, checking out all the half-started projects, going through the files, and somebody finds a spindle idea for stacking records so the listener wouldn't have to get up and change the disc all the time. In the development of this thing, they realized the 78 was too fragile, being shellac, so they had gone back to Emil Berliner's original 7-inch size and decided that 45 RPM was the optimum speed. They took the idea out of mothballs and secretly started working on it, calling it Madam X. Sarnoff knew Paley's 33 and a third, they were now calling the long player, or LP, would capture and own all the Broadway shows, the classical music, symphonies, ballets. But what was going to work best for pop music? You know, those 2 and 3 minute wonders that Tin Pan Alley was cranking out. Big band swing, hillbilly music, blues, and other race music like rhythm and blues and things like that. You know, the records people buy every week, and not just on special occasions. I'll tell you what's going to work, Sarnoff thought to himself. Our little 45. The only one that fits in the jukebox.
Shapes of things before my eyes just teach me to despise. Will time make man more wise? Here within my lonely frame, my eyes just hurt my brain. But will it seem the same? Come tomorrow, will I be older? Come tomorrow, may be a soldier. Come tomorrow, may I be bolder than today. Now the trees are almost green, but will they still be seen? Destroy these lands, don't make them desert sand. Come tomorrow, will I be older? Come tomorrow, may be a soldier. Come tomorrow, may I be bolder than
an integral part of the mod way of life is music. With the advent of the rock sound in the mid-50s, the now generation stepped in with swinging torsos and literally took over the recording business. Out of the top 100 records in the country today, at least 85 can be categorized as rock. Today's teenagers spend on the average of $8 to $10 a month on records.
Yeah.
my way. I know love can last 2 years, but how can love last 2 tears? I ain't that peculiar, baby.
This is Zuzu from Soraya, and you are in Little Steven's Underground Garage, playing the coolest rock songs ever recorded.
teeny bopper. I already made it with Dick Bogardus of the Raspberry Wristwatch. That's his shirt. And Jack Hennessy of the Unreal. And the drummer of the Democratic Convention. And the Wanderer and lots of other big guys. With concerts and record deals and everything. And I'd like, well, you know, with you. Because you'll probably get to be an album.
Here. Keep this. It's a souvenir. Same as if we made it. I just don't want to catch you cold.
Can't help it.
If she walks by, the mean folks getting gross.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she winks an eye, the grand sights turn to toes.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she got a lot of what they call the mold.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
The girl can't help it, she was born to please.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
And if she's got a bigger maid to squeeze.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
Won't you kindly be aware? The girl can't help it.
Girl can't help it.
She mesmerizes every mother's soul.
Can't help it. Girl can't help it.
If she smiles and beefsteak become well done.
Can't help it. Girl can't help it.
She make grandpa feel like 21.
Can't help it. Girl can't help it.
The girl can't help it. She was born to please.
Can't help it. Girl can't help it.
And if I go to hell on bending knees.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
Oh, won't you kindly be aware that I can't help it?
I can't help it.
Because I'm hoping, obviously, that someday the answer would be the girl can't help it, she's in love with me.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
If she went to nine, the brass lights turn to toes.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
She got a lot of what they call the mold.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
The girl can't help it, she was born to please.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
And if she's got a bigger maid to squeeze.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
I'm hoping, obviously, that someday the answer will be the girl can't. She's in love with me.
Can't help it, the girl can't help it.
Oh yeah, we started with the Yardbirds' Shapes of Things. Fantastic record produced by Giorgio Gomelsky. Written by Paul Samwell Smith, Keith Relf, and Jim McCarty. Jeff Beck with that amazing guitar solo. And Chris Drea playing the very important rhythm guitar parts. Recorded at Chess Studios, by the way, 1966. Ain't That Peculiar? The amazing Marvin Gaye, originally from Washington, D.C., ended up in Detroit. Lucky for him. And Berry Gordy. Written and produced by Smokey Robinson. Co-written by Smokey guitar player Marv Tarplin, Pete Moore, and Rob Rogers. The marvelous Dewey Martin, fantastic drummer with Buffalo Springfield, and his classic Good Time Boy. From their legendary second album, Buffalo Springfield Again, song written by Richie Furay, Steve Stills, and Neil Young, making up the first three guitar attack, I believe, in rock and roll history. Dewey Martin on drums and Bruce Palmer on bass. They were like all lead singers. Is what made groups amazing in those days, how many great lead singers would be in the same band. Certainly helped those background vocals, didn't it?
Electrocutioner. Yeah, brand new from Soraya. Very cool stuff. Written by Zuzu and Travis, and they produced it with Stephen LaFascia. Get it from Soraya.com.
And from the classic film of the same name, The Girl Can't Help It. Little Richard and His Band, produced by the great Art Roop and written by the great Bobby Troup. Earl Palmer playing those drums, Fred Tyler and Lee Allen on the saxes, Frankie Fields, Edgar Blanchard, and the Robins singing background on that. Now, is that Robins as in original name of the Coasters? Could be. Somebody asked Little Richard. He might remember. We will be back with our coolest song of the world this week.
Llegó el momento de detenernos en un clásico del Underground Garage, la canción más chula de la semana. Hoy ese honor recae sobre un viejo conocido de Little Steven. Me refiero al señor Gary Talent, bajista y miembro fundador de la E Street Band y gran compañero de viaje de Bruce Springsteen desde 1972. Esta noche tenemos el gusto de escuchar un adelanto de lo que será su nuevo disco y que saldrá publicado el próximo 4 de marzo. Gary Talent, Charlene, en la canción más chula de la semana. Dale, Little.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from the rock and roll capital of the world, Neptune City, New Jersey. Please welcome to the Underground Garage stage, Gary Talent.
This way, I know you really love me no matter what you say. Charlene, 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 come on baby, don't call me soon. Oh Charlene, don't be so mean. Much time on my knees, hard to start and ever since we'll leave. Everything I do seems to be wrong. We try a little harder, we can get along. You won't give an inch, you'll take a mile. Come on, lighten up, baby, just a little while. Charlene, 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 come on baby, don't cause a scene. Oh Charlene, don't be so mean. You ain't ever happy unless you're mad. Best to ever get in a little bit bad. You just wait and see. You're never gonna get the best of me, Charlene. Ah, baby, you know what I mean. I never knew a woman with a temper like yours. But you got something every man adores. Baby, you know you take the cake. Falling in love, no mistake. Now I know what I'm gonna do. Stay right here and find out with you, Charlene. Charlene, Charlene, come on baby, don't call the same. Oh, Charlene, don't be so
heart, body and soul. She's my heater when the weather's cold. She's my baby. She's my baby. She's my baby. And I don't mean maybe. She's my water when I'm thirsty and dry. She's the tears from my eyes when I wanna cry. She is my baby. She's my baby. She is my baby. And I don't mean baby. Lord have mercy. Mother tried to teach her when she wasn't quite a child. Now she's growing up, getting frantic and wild. But she's my baby. Yes, she's my baby. She is my baby. And I don't mean Mary.
Wow, Lisa. Looking at you makes me want to get married for a third time. I met a really nice exotic dancer the other night at Hugh's bachelor party.
You didn't have a bachelor party.
We had one in his honor. I had one in his honor. I went to a strip club.
This is Dave Davies of the Kinks, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
I'm not content to be with you in the daytime. Girl, I want to be with you all of the time.
Night.
started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Charlene from Gary W. Talent. Yes, bass player with the E Street Band and rockabilly expert, among other things. Part of the greatest rhythm section working in the world today, I say with complete objectivity. The album is Break Time. It's his first solo album, and it's about time. He wrote Charlene with Dave DeRocher and produced the record with Tim Coates and Eddie Angel, joining Gary, who, by the way, is playing all the guitars, at least on this track, as opposed to his usual bass. Joined by Jimmy Lester on drums, Dave Rowe playing the stand-up bass, Eddie Angel also on guitars, Fats Kaplan fiddle, mandolin, and banjo, Randy Ligo accordion and clarinet. There's a combination for you. Kevin McKendry on piano, and Dave DeRocher adding some harmony vocals. Get it from GaryTalent.com. Two R's, two L's. Our coolest song in the world this week, Gary Talent with Charlene. Sonny Boy Williamson II, Rice Miller to you. She's My Baby, 1960. Otis Spann, piano. Robert Jr. Lockwood and Lucy Tucker guitars. Willie Dixon on bass. Odie Payne on drums. Black Coffee, Rival Sons, baby. Yeah. Gonna be on their new album coming out. You can get it if you go see them. They put it on the tour edition of Great Western Valkyrie. The Castaways out of Minneapolis. The Fabulous Liar Liar, 1965. Written by keyboard player Jim Donna, who sang it also. Fabulous little record. Denny Craswell on drums. Bobby Falchow playing that cool guitar lick and singing the falsetto part. And Roy Hensley, rhythm guitar. All Day and All of the Night was the Kinks' fourth fabulous single in a row. The first two were not hits, but were just fantastic. They finally broke through on their third single, and there'll be quite a string after that. Mostly written by Ray Davies and produced by Shel Talmy. We'll be back with our concluding chapter entitled Put Down That Shotgun, Grandma, and Hand Me My 45, or Carry Me Shellac to Old Virginny.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del show de esta noche, pero antes de despedir el Underground Garage, es justo terminar con nuestro protagonista, el single de 7 pulgadas. Su declive llegó en los 90 con la llegada del compact disc y otros formatos digitales, pero en los últimos tiempos el vinilo ha resurgido con fuerza, tal vez por nostalgia, quizás por calidad de grabación y reproducción, en fin, quién sabe, pero es una realidad. Un ejemplo de ello es la gran cantidad de ferias dedicadas al disco de vinilo que se celebran, por ejemplo, en España. Este año ya han acontecido algunas. Sin ir más lejos, hoy se celebraba en Oviedo. En Barcelona, por ejemplo, se celebrará la 21ª Feria Internacional de Discos el 30 de abril y el 1 de mayo. Una semana antes tendrá lugar la 6ª Feria Internacional del Disco en Bilbao. Y por muchos años. Todo tuyo, maestro.
So by the end of 1948, the recording industry was ready for something new. The Musicians Union was striking, trying to get royalties from records to make up for all the work records were costing live performers. All of radio started off live, and now jukeboxes were replacing live bands, so musicians were suddenly in trouble. With the strike, the big pop stars couldn't record, leaving a vacuum for the non-union genres to fill, namely rhythm and blues, hillbilly music, and the kids' market. Henry Lapidus started Rocking Horse Records, selling red and yellow-colored 7-inch 78s to the under-10-year-old set. This caught on, so he started selling little, cheap, tinny toy record players, which sold like hotcakes. This seemingly innocent product would end up changing the world. Because what happened for the first time was Junior was able to play his records in the privacy of his own room, instead of in the living room on that huge piece of furniture that was the record player. It wouldn't matter much with Winnie the Pooh for 8 and 9 year olds, but by the mid-50s, those kids were 13, 14, 15 years old and had gotten used to deciding for themselves what they wanted to hear. And Mommy and Daddy could not change the fact that it had become normal for kids to have their own little phonograph. And in the privacy of their inner sanctum, teenage dreams could run wild. It would be their introduction to a brand new exciting world with limitless possibilities. A new language, a new lifestyle, a new hope, a break with the boredom and frustration of being young, and a first communion with immortality.
I want you back again. I want your love again. I know you find it hard to reason with me, but this time is different. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You said we're through before you walked out on me. I tried to tell you, but you didn't want to know. This time you're different, and determined to go. You gotta tell me you're coming back to me. You gotta tell me you're coming.
Mary Weiss of the Shangri-Las, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
I'm gonna hide, if she don't leave me alone. I'm gonna run away.
Don't,
cause you can.
Listen.
Does this sound familiar? You wake up every morning, go to school every day, spend your nights on the corner, just passing time away. Your life is so lonely, like a child without a toy. Then a miracle, a boy. And that's called glad. Now my mom is a good mom, and she loves me with all her heart. But she said I was too young to be in love, and the boy and I would have to part. And no matter how I ranted and raved, I screamed, I pleaded, I cried. She told me it was not really love, but only my girlish pride. And that's called bad. Happened to you. Don't let this. I packed my clothes and left home that night. Though she begged me to stay, I was sure I was right. And you know something funny? I forgot that boy right away. Instead, I remember being tucked in bed and hearing my mama say,
"Hush, little baby.
$1,000 a night just for singing? Why, you can get a phonograph record of Minnie the Moocher for 75 cents. For a buck and a quarter, you can get Minnie.
Get you.
way things back in Ramsdale. Well, in the house.
You take care of all those things. What things do you want specially?
My record player and my records.
Well, we'll send for them, but in the meantime, I can buy you new ones to take the place of the old ones. I'll buy you the best hi-fi set that you ever saw. And all the new records. Oh.
I wouldn't change a thing.
We started with the coolest slow song ever, and we don't play many of them. Tell Me, from the Rolling Stones' first album, produced by the awesome Andrew Lug Oldham and written by Mick and Keith in 1964. I Can Never Go Home Anymore was the Shangri-Las, their eighth single on Lieber and Stoller's Redbird Records. Got to number six in 1965, written and produced by the amazing George Shadow Morton. Two sets of sisters, the Weiss sisters and the Ganser sisters.
No Direction Home, Cheap Trick, new album coming. They wrote and produced it. Very cool stuff.
And from the very, very, very amazing first solo album by Rod Stewart,
I Would Never Change a Thing,
which was part of a run of six or eight amazing albums in a row Rod did, starting with the first two Jeff Beck albums, continuing into his first three, at least, solo albums, all of which were fantastic, and, of course, the Faces albums all around that same time. I don't know, six, eight, maybe 10 great albums in a row in three different configurations, you know. Anyway, Rod Stewart writing that one, co-producing it with Lou Reisner, Ronnie Wood playing most of the guitar, Bottleneck and bass, Marty Paugh additional guitar, and Keith Emerson on that track playing organ. An Old Raincoat Won't Ever Let You Down was the original title. This became the Rod Stewart album, 1969. For those of you who may have tuned into Rod's later career, go back and check his early stuff out, and you'll find out why we considered him one of the greatest singers of all time. And of course, he still is.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke, or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool, Andy Babuke's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests, and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
hasta aquí llega el Underground Garage de esta noche en Rock FM, donde hemos disfrutado un poco y recorrido la historia de ese single, el sencillo de 7 pulgadas, reproducido a 45 revoluciones, un clásico ya que está resurgiendo con fuerza, no solo lo que es el single en ese formato, sino el disco de vinilo en general. Hemos recordado también al señor David Sarnoff como un gran impulsor de la tecnología en radio y que apostó fuerte por el disco sencillo en la RCA. En fin, espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen show esta noche. Yo te emplazo a que nos encontremos si te apetece, pues el domingo que viene, aquí en el Underground Garage de Little Steven en Rock FM. Yo soy Carlos Medina y hasta entonces te deseo una fantástica semana. Little, buenas noches. Nos vemos.